You're listening to Recap FM's coverage of the Amazon original series, The Boys. This will be a recap on Season 1, Episode 3, Get Some. I'm Jason.
I'm Seal.
The credits are rolling. Let's talk. All right, so we left off last episode with, it was an explosive ending, to say the least.
It ended with a bang.
Yes, as they would say in some scenarios.
And on that bombshell.
So yeah, Huey is, he made that turn.
He did. He's one of the boys now. Yeah.
So that's cool. So again, like we thought might happen in this episode, we're moving forward. So now we got the clue. Pop Claw was the name. And so This episode kind of centers around finding out, one, who Popclaw is, and hoping to get some more information on what A-Train was really up to. So,
yeah, what was he doing coming from the place, and where was he going so fast?
And he's going everywhere so fast all the time.
So fast all the time.
Sometimes not fast enough, as we'll see.
Yeah, so there is a challenger waiting in the wings.
Shockwave. Sounds like isn't that a Transformer?
Yes,
I feel like
it is.
It definitely is. Yeah,
it absolutely is.
So he's racing a Transformer. No,
yeah, that would be awesome, dude.
I know, that would be amazing. So it's cool. So in this world, not similar to many like superhero universes that we're used to. Typically, you know, DC universe, Marvel universe, you see one superhero who has a power. And they're usually the only one with that power. There's only one Hulk, you know. Now, in the grand scheme of the comic book universe, I'm sure that that expands multiple folds. But as far as the movies and just the universe that has been built as of now, it feels like very much like that's their niche. Like, this guy does this and no one else does. And so this world is interesting, as in, it's all like chance. And honestly, you're rolling a dice and you're bound to hit sevens or snake eyes multiple times in a roll. Mm-hmm. And so, you know,
it's like, there could be a finite power set that we don't know about, that, you know, maybe there's just so much that goes around. And so clearly we have two fast guys would call them speedsters. And if we're being, you know, comic book geeks, but, which, you know, I'm fine with that.
Sure.
But maybe that's a thing. I don't know. I'm interested to find out. It's one of those things going forward into this world. I can't wait to find out what this, because they say it in the first episode. Vought alone has, they're like, yeah, we have 200 and something superheroes on our roster. I was like, I want to know more. It's like, who are these people? What can they do?
We're really only talking about seven of them. I mean, you see different ones. We saw, whatever the girl was who changed shapes all the time in the last episode. But we've seen, you know, more than the seven. We've seen people maybe who want to be in the seven. I think that that's an interesting thing. Even going back to the first episode, talking about Starlight being in superhero pageants and this idea of being in the seven was the finale. That was the end goal.
Sure.
You know, so there's a ton of soups out there. So none of the seven can really kind of rest. They can't sit easy, which is another
thing. No, they have to be on top of their game all the time, because there's always somebody waiting to knock them off.
And that builds on to their need to rely on Vought, and this, like, going back to, like, having security and money and drugs and things that are going to give them the edge over other people who are trying to take their position.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. It's interesting to see it unfold in a way that, you know, yeah, they're always watching their back. There's never a point where they get to rest.
Yeah. Nobody ever gets to rest. Nobody ever gets to take a break.
Yeah. So, this big race is coming up, and it obviously is all the buzz. Imagine being in that world where you're like, you know, sports, okay, whatever. You know, race cars, whatever. There's these two people who are going to race at supersonic speeds. People are going to show up by the thousands. People are going to be watching by the millions, and the race is going to end in less than a second. You know, yeah. It's like this crazy thought.
And forget the physics of that. That
right.
you would not want to be in that stadium when those two guys break the sound barrier.
Oh, no.
Explosions. Oh, my God. Your eardrums would blow out.
Ears blowing up.
Yeah. It's going to blow out every window for a couple of miles. Yeah. People's eardrums are going to blow out.
I mean, you've been to an air show and had an F-16 fly over you.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I've, you know, where I used to live when I was a little kid, when we lived out in the country for a bit, we used to get, when Lackland and the other Air Force Base were still real active, we used to get F-4s out of there that would break the sound barrier over our house. And it sounded like a bomb went off. The windows would rattle. The china would rattle. It sounded like a bomb went off. Yeah. And I can't imagine being in an enclosed space with that happening. Oh, my goodness, dude.
Right. It's terrifying.
Yeah. But hey, it makes for good television.
Exactly. They can run through people. So that's a whole thing we've explored.
So that's neat.
There's so many more dangers involved with soups than we really want to get into right now.
Yeah, so. And that's another thing I find very interesting about the show is they're getting into that. It's like, okay, well, here's what the world would really look like with these people running around. It's like you don't think about the real collateral damage and how dangerous everyday life would be.
Sure. Yeah. And how many people that they've had to pay off.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane. So we get to where we're looking for where a train is going, which leads the boys to exploring another member of the boys, going back a little bit. Apparently, Butcher has history with a lot of people who are into a lot of shady business. So, we meet Mother's Milk, which is a great name, by the way.
Oh, yeah. He's one of my favorite characters, and I know I raved about Frenchie last time, but at least from the comic book, I loved Mother's Milk. I thought he was great.
Yeah, he's cool. He's like the even keeled, like calm one. We find out very quickly. So he's at what, like a troubled youth center, essentially like a juvenile detention center, and you can see that he's trying to make good on maybe some past failures that he's had.
Sure, and he's trying to be an example to these young men, and you know,
to give back a little bit.
Yeah, he's doing a good thing.
Yeah,
he's absolutely doing a good thing. Yeah, he's absolutely doing a good thing.
Yeah. So, Butcher comes to him and he's like, "Hey, we need help. We're getting the gang back together." I thought it was interesting. So there's one huge qualm that Mother's Milk has with getting back. And it's, you know, like the similar to Frenchie's response to seeing Butcher. He not excited. Like, yeah. They all clearly, something went bad at some point. Not excited about it, but slightly willing. But Mother's Milk has a big reservation of being a part of something with Frenchie again.
Yeah, he's like, hey, as long as that guy's not, I'm in, but I'm not going anywhere near that dude. And I love how Butcher just plays it off. He's like, oh, no, I hadn't seen him in years.
he straight up
lies to him.
Can we just talk about Butcher for a second? I think.
Please, let's.
He is so great. I love how, like, short and to the point he is and, like, he's not going to beat around the bush, or he'll just lie straight to your face. It's like, you know he's lying. You know he's trying to get what he wants, but he is hell-bent on achieving this goal.
He has a singular focus. He's not going to let anything get in his way, much like Homelander.
Right.
We don't know exactly what Homelander's focus is yet, but we know that he has one, and so does Butcher. And so, he makes no qualms about saying or doing whatever he's got to do to take the next step toward that goal.
I'm really glad you brought that up because, like I talked about last episode, you know, I'm super excited about seeing where, you know, how Homelander, you know, kind of his character gets revealed and we see his arc unfold. But equally, you, if you're excited about Homelander, you have to be excited about Butcher.
Because, oh, absolutely.
Like you said, they're so similar in, I think, what their motivations might be.
Sure, sure.
Maybe and them being different, but how they're approaching things.
Yeah, they both have, as I think neither one of them would want to admit it, but they have a similar attitude on how to get something accomplished, and that is just straight up the middle. Just plow through.
Right.
And they're both kind of go get them tenacious, if you will.
Yeah.
And yeah, the end definitely justifies the means, I think, with both of these guys.
Exactly. Yeah. So we know Butcher has a past. We know he's obviously, we don't know the whole story of why he has this intense anger towards Supes, but we know it's real and we know it's ruthless. So, yeah, so that'll be interesting to see how that kind of pans out. So catching up with where the boys are at in this moment. So they're looking for Popclaw. They know this name. They heard Translucent mention that A-Train was meeting up with this person. And they find out that there's a relationship there with A-Train and Popclaw.
Yep. They're seeing each other on the sly.
They are. So she's a Soup as well.
Mm-hmm.
a Wolverine of sorts with claws that come out of her forearms.
Yeah, that looks painful.
Is gnarly.
Yeah.
Like, there was no angle where it looked like it felt okay. Wolverine, cool. Comes out of your fist, no big deal. It's part of you. It's an extension. That just always looked painful.
Mm-hmm.
So she's this retired Soup who is making money, basically like showing off her body. And, you know, she's a beautiful girl. And why not show off the body of a superhero? You know, she's going to make money off that. There's got to be a subset of people who are specifically looking for Supes.
Oh, sure. In that world, you know it.
Exactly. I mean, they're everywhere.
There's all kinds of pervs out there, man.
Oh, yeah. A claws come out of your forearm. I'm into that shit.
Yep.
Somebody's.
Well, and we find out, you know, she's done movies and all this stuff. And so it's, you know, she's had quite the career.
Right. So they decide that, you know, they need to do some surveillance on her, which I like because we get on to seeing more of his usefulness aside from hitting a switch on a C4 that's shoved in the rectal area of a superhero. We start to see his value. And I think that's cool, you know, because for the most part, Mother's Milk and Frenchie are like, all right, I get us being here, but why the hell is Huey here? Doesn't make sense.
Why are you here? You've known Butcher for a couple of days. Why are you here? And come to find out, he brings a little value to the team.
He does.
And he has the idea, you know, when they're in the little van outside and they're like, okay, we got to figure out how we're going to get in there. We got to set up all these cameras. We need to get her out of the apartment. And he's like, no, I got this. I just need some information off of her router. And let me get in and put a little spyware in the computer. And she's probably got a smart TV. Her laptop's got a camera on it. Her phone probably does. And we're hooked up.
which is also terrifying.
It is, isn't it?
I went straight into one of my drawers where I keep electrical tape and covered all the cameras in my house.
I don't blame you.
No, it is. It's a crazy thought how simple it could be.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, it's creepy.
Yeah. So they start doing surveillance on her. He gets in. He does his whole bit. He's, you know, he's moved into being this character who's a lot smoother than he started out in the first episode.
He
can talk himself through situations. But yeah, so they actually run into A-Train as they're leaving.
Yeah.
And
Huey's like, boom, wham, face to face with him. And there's that moment. And I love it how you see that moment of panic in Huey's eyes. And then in a moment of confusion when A-Train's just standing there like, what, you want an autograph or something?
And then it was like anger. It's like, how the hell do you not know who I am? You know? Like,
yeah.
Oh, that was so cool. Because, yeah, just like you were saying, it was like this progression of like facial expressions, and seeing how that unfolded was like super cool. Just to how he ended that with like, fuck that guy. I want to kill him.
Like, yeah. And, you know. And then MM's like, hey, we got to go. See you later.
Yeah,
you know, bye-bye.
Peace out. Yeah,
take care. We're running late.
Yeah. So at this point, do you want to jump into how A-Train is getting his Compound V and really what's going on there?
Yeah. So we see, we cut to the scene with A-Train and Popclaw, and they're talking about the race coming up and all that kind of thing. And A-Train brings up, hey, you got any more V? And so clearly, somehow or another, Popclaw is getting the V, the right. Compound V. And A-Train is kind of siphoning off a little bit, shall we say?
Sure.
Skimming a little off the top for himself. And his point is, hey, I got to do this race. And he's like, I'm not as fast as I used to be. And we start to see the vulnerability of these guys. We talked a little bit about it before, you know, about how they can't rest on their laurels, so to speak. That there's always someone waiting in the wings, and we know he's got this race coming up with Shockwave, and A-Train knows. He's like, dude, I am not what I used to be. I'm already slower than I used to be. He's like, I need this. He's like, I need this. I need to win this race, get back on top, and everything will be cool. And, you know, we can announce to the world that we're together and all these great things are going to happen once I win this race. And to do that, I just need a little bump.
Just a little bump skis to take me over the edge.
You know, and she even says, hey, be careful because it's a slippery slope.
And she would know.
She's got the experience. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Which we find out later.
Yes, she does have the experience. And any soup using this stuff is a dangerous combination. Drugs are bad, okay, but that drug is terrifying in the hands of a soup.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's basically a steroid for a superhero. And, oh, my gosh. That is literally that is genuinely terrifying.
Yeah, yeah. So we know the race is going to unfold soon. A-Train's obviously prepping for that. Let's talk a little bit about Annie and Huey hanging out.
Yeah. So the boys are at the stadium. They've concocted this plan. Like, hey, we got to get a hold of some of this Compound V. And so we know A-Train's got some. So we're going to sneak into the locker room and steal a little bit. And so Huey's kind of thing is he's sort of like playing lookout, I guess. They've disguised him as a reporter, photographer. And so he's kind of playing lookout while Frenchie goes in and does his Mission Impossible, you know, climb down the rope to steal the stuff, right?
And he's nimble.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And but as part of the, you know, the big to-do, you know, members of the Seven are there to support A-Train, obviously, and Starlight's there.
Yeah.
And she's going from point A to point B, and Huey sees her, and he's like, hey, Annie, whoa, hey, it's me. You know, and he recognizes her. And so, you know, they stop and chat for a minute. She's like, hey, I got to go. He's like, no, let's go grab a beer. Because Butcher's like, hey, we need a little bit more time. Yeah. She literally opens the door, and you got that moment where Frenchie's kind of hanging there on the rope, like,
eh! Yeah.
I got a laugh out of that.
And Huey's conflicted because I think he's starting to see that he genuinely thinks that she's a good person. And
he definitely
Butcher
sees the good
care.
In her. Right. Right. And he even goes so far, he turns off his Butcher's talking in his ear the whole time saying, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that. And he turns off his comms and has a, you know, they sit and have a genuine conversation with each other. And, you know, you can see the bond between them really, really starting to form.
Right.
And he gets her number.
Sure. Because he's a smooth operator now.
Because why wouldn't you?
Right. He gets the number of, apparently the hottest superhero in the world at that point. No big deal. Yeah. It's whatever. It's no Huey.
It's cool. It's Huey.
Just doing Huey things.
It's Petit Huey.
Petit Huey.
Doing his thing.
Yes. So We also, so we know there's superheroes that are going to be at this event. So we have Homelander who's there, and he shows up with,
We got Homelander, Maeve. Yeah, Maeve's there, and then Homelander kind of crashes her party and steals her thunder a little bit.
Yeah, and we see a little bit of their dynamic unfolding
they had something going on.
Sure. You know, he's Homelander. Well, you know, kind of fills things out. We know he has mother issues, so he's probably going to be mistreating some people, which he clearly did in this situation. And Queen Maeve is reluctantly smiling next to him. So
yeah, because she knows she's got to put on the good face, but she's clearly despises the guy.
Which I'm super interested in Maeve and to see, like,
yeah, what's her deal?
How that's going to play out? You know, her clear, you know, detest for like all of this boys club of the other six guys, you know?
Yeah. Like, and she's like the jaded veteran that just goes along with, you know, goes along with the situation because, well, that's what you do.
Yeah. You just have to.
You just have to do what you do. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm interested to see, you know, why her, you know, what motivates her to keep up the good face and why she doesn't just go off and say, screw you guys.
Right. And what motivates her and, like, more importantly, what's going to pull her out of that situation?
Right.
I think we'll see that unfold. So there's a cool part, though, in this scene where they're out kind of waving to the crowd where Butcher makes straight eye contact with Homelander.
Oh, yeah. He just stares him down, like, for minutes.
Yeah. And Homelander's, you know, just, like, kind of looking around, smiling, waving. And his eyes, they lock. And they have this, like, scene of, like, I know who you are. I'm going to kill you one day. It's, like, this super intense.
I'm coming for you.
Yeah. You see
Butcher. And Homelander's kind of got this sort of awkward, like you know, kind of grin, like, what? Who's this guy? And he kind of tries to go back to waving at the crowd, and he keeps looking back down at Butcher.
Right.
And Butcher's just lock staring him down. It's such a great little moment.
Yeah. Butcher does not give a shit.
Homelander is clearly the goal here. We know he's got a thing for Supes. Now we know, okay, he's got a thing for Homelander. So Homelander has wronged him in some way, and something's going to go down.
He wants to cut the head off the snake.
Yes.
I think that, you know, we'll see. Obviously, Butcher is guided by his hate, and he's guided by his need for revenge, vengeance, whatever. But we might see it unfold in a way that we're not expecting. I think maybe later on throughout the series, he might come to a realization that Vought is pulling a lot of strings. Still doesn't make Homelander any less of a terrible person, but
no, he's still a villain.
Yeah.
But he's,
I'm interested to see how that shifts, if it does at all, or if he still has this like boner for murder for Homelander. So interested to see how that plays out.
It's going to be fun. Yeah. It's going to be fun to watch it play out.
Yeah. So jumping back over to our surveillance on Popclaw,
my goodness gracious.
She's behind on her rent, as ex-superheroes are. Which, come on, A-Train. You're out there running people over. You're getting your Compound V. You can't throw a little cash her way to make sure she's up on her rent.
You'd think, you know?
We know Vought is dropping that big money. You have time to go to all the clubs and get high and run through people and swallow molars. Like, we get it. You should be able to toss some dough.
Yeah. No big. So,
but she decides, since she's a beautiful woman, that she's going to seduce her landlord.
Yeah. Maybe we can come to an arrangement here.
Right.
That's beneficial, you know, a mutually beneficial thing. Don't you think?
Right. So they're messing around.
Little role play.
Little weird kinky stuff, especially involving a soup. But she then sits on the face of the landlord.
As you
getting her pleasures. Mm-hmm. And as soups can get too excited
We know she's very strong.
Sure, she's strong. Yeah. She's got spikes coming out of her arms, which I don't think played a part in this situation. But her strength mainly did. Especially, you ever see those women who can just like break watermelons with their thighs?
Yeah,
that's what I was saying.
That's like
an intense amount of thigh strength.
Yeah, I mean, so, just oh my goodness gracious! And she doesn't. She doesn't realize it. She doesn't realize it until she turns
she's
around. She goes and sits down and looks at him, and she's like, "Oh, wow." And Q, Butcher, and Frenchie come walking in.
And they're just given a piece of cake on a platter. It's the best scenario for them. So
they've caught her. Yeah, we're not here to. Yeah.
Where she's taking Compa V, she's exploded a man's head, and she's also, you know, feels terrible about it, which is good. Because
you should feel bad about that.
Exactly. It was good that she had remorse because it was more usable in their situation as well.
Yeah. And Butcher's like, hey, we're going to help you out of this situation.
Yeah.
Classic extortion line right there.
Yeah. Hey, you got yourself in a pickle. Let us help you.
We can.
So that's great. That is great for the boys.
So the boys now have a pipeline. Right to A-Train.
Yes. Which is the goal. They're working their way up the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're seeing this unfold as we go, and I'm loving it. You know, now we may have missed a couple things. More so, I want to get into like how you're feeling so far. Go on, if you have something.
Well, an important thing we did miss was the Deep finds the box with Translucent's remains.
Yeah.
And so we have that scene with him and Homelander and Stillwell, and you know,
a dolphin found the box.
A good friend of mine, it was a porpoise. Yeah. He's like, a good friend of mine found it, and he's like, dude, it was a porpoise.
Right.
But Stillwell's like, well, why would someone do this? Why would they let you find it? Why would they want to get caught? And he's like, oh, let me show you. And they lift up the box, and inside is spray painted in "Coming for You."
Yes.
Oh,
that is
the game is afoot.
It is. And there's pieces being moved on both sides. We see most of what's going on with the boys. And I'm liking it. I'm loving that the team is being assembled. I think like each episode we're getting a little piece and we're getting a little taste of what the team is going to look like, because that's the focus. You know, you get down to just what the title of the show is. And I love this dynamic that's unfolding. I like the banter. I like each one of their personalities. I think that's really important that, you know, other characters in the show, it's fine. I like them all, but they can be hit and miss if, you know, whatever. But they have these characters who are doing a really good job of playing their part and being likable and conflicted. And I think that is so important.
And they have good chemistry. And
yes, like unfolding all of these multiple arcs at the same time. I think it's really good that they're all a little conflicted. They're all a little messed up, and we get to kind of see that unravel.
Yeah,
so that's cool.
They're all very human. There's no, you know, they're not one dimensional. There's depth in facets to all of them, which is nice.
Yeah. Anything else you wanted to cover on this one?
Man, I think we got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm enjoying this, man. I'm loving this show.
I am absolutely loving it.
I'm having a blast. I've had to like kind of slow myself down a little bit, pace myself, maybe go back, watch an episode again, just because this is one of those shows I could burn through this in a 2 days. 2 days tops.
Yeah.
You could
sit down
burn
and just right
through it.
Mm-hmm.
It's enjoyable.
Just savor it.
It's just easy. I'm tasting it. We're coming at it like a nice souffle.
Yeah. But yeah.
So I'm enjoying it. I'm glad we're talking about it. I'm having a good time. If y'all want to check out any more of our podcast on the FM network, so we have recap.fm is our website. It's a great spot to check out any of our other shows. We have, you know, Chernobyl just wrapped up, Good Omens just wrapped up. We have Stranger Things that's still going.
Preacher's going.
It just started again. So, and honestly, the fall is going to bring an insane amount of shows that we're scrambling to cover them all, but we're going to, damn it. So,
by golly.
If you want to be a part of that and you want to see these things as they're dropping, it's so important that you get on that mailing list. And it's easy. Please. There's not going to be any spam involved with that. It's really just to get information out, whether it be a giveaway or a new episode that's dropping, a new platform we're doing something on, whatever that may be. It's only going to be information involving content. That's important to know going into it.
It'll be useful stuff.
Yes, only useful. So consider doing that. Also consider following us on Twitter. We have @recapfm. Make sure you follow that one. I am @JasonM_FM.
I am @SealAdams, and that's SealAdams.
Yeah. But as always, thank you so much for listening. We look forward to talking some more next time. We hope that you'll stick around to hear us. Thanks.
Late.